Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Sitting outside your window and hear you recording Whatever Works, whatever the reason they're out there, they should be paying for the privilege of listening to a live podcast from Ted Salmon.
Well, I've shut the window now, so you see, I've tested this with them with some other people, and I said to them, can you hear me with the window shut? And they say, we can hear you talking, but we can't hear what you're saying. So even with the window shut, it's not perfect. But to be fair, with the window open, there's a train line outside, which doesn't help.
Okay, so the window's closed now, so we're all alone.
This is just really not a very useful place to have recording going on, frankly, particularly in the summer, when because there's just noise everywhere. There's noise from... It's because I'm just next to the beach, and everyone in the summer is kind of hanging out around the beach, I suppose.
Now, dear listeners, anyway. Before Mr. Salmon climbed onto his soapbox there, did you notice when he lowered his voice so that only I would hear him, did you not notice the delicate and subtle and warm tones of the Radio 2 in the middle of the night voice? I think you're missing out on a well-paid job here, Ted. Good day to everybody.
I like that. Exactly. Whispering Bob.
Exactly. There you are.
don't put all that whinge in, for goodness sake. People will be thinking, all right, git.
Right, well then I'll have to do what I can to cheer you up, Ted. Hello, everybody. We're going to have a great time now, and we're going to have another exciting edition of Whatever Works in Our Lives, are we not?
Well done. You can be in charge today. Go on, carry on. What show number is it?
I haven't the faintest idea because I work with a fabulous man who usually tells me. I can look at the top of our show notes. It's number 244. It's Tuesday.
And what's the date?
I was just saying, if you hadn't interrupted me, I was just going on to say it's Tuesday, the 21st of July. And Ted and I have just been chatting off air about how, although it isn't actually a hot day in inverted commas, the sort of heatwave nastiness we've been having of late, indeed, it's only 22 degrees in my studio at the moment, it somehow feels hot. It seems that there's a residue of the heatwave that won't go away. Would you concur with that, Ted?
I would. What, you haven't finished yet. What's our website?
Oh, dear, have I got to do the whole thing? All right.
Yep. No, you take over. You're in charge.
No. I defer to you, sir. You're the expert.
Whateverworks.works is our website, and you can find us all over the place on MeWe, of course, and we like to know whatever works in your life. I'll tell you what we have got coming up quite soon, being November on current projections, is our 250th show. Ooh. And there is a threat from you to try and do something with video on that one, isn't there?
There is indeed. I mean, I'm sure listeners know that prior to recording we have show notes that we put our contributions in and leave each other messages back and forth, most of them readable. And indeed, we were wondering, should we do something special, and should that be the first and probably the last ever video edition? Let us know what you think, good folks. If it's not already enough that you have to sit and listen to us waffling on for an hour, would you actually like to see our physogs as well?
We have, in the PSC Photography podcast, we're just dabbling at the moment with putting it on YouTube and doing very similar. And fortunately, we've got a guy called Ian Bundy who seems to know what he's doing with that. And we have put a pilot thing out with that on. So, perhaps we need to shift emphasis a bit into the video age, as everyone else seems to be doing the same thing. We shall see.
Yeah, but I do feel, my personal feeling is, why on earth do you need to see? I think a podcast works very well audibly. So, I mean, I think for me it would be a fun thing to do once on our 250th and then go back to normal afterwards.
I think it's a bit different on PSC Photography because we are aware that we're talking about pictures
images. Yes, indeed.
That no one can see.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's just a slightly different. Anyway, a big thank you to people who are using my Amazon Associates program link, which is tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. this week I got a voucher from Amazon for £39, and I checked back, and that's the first one I have had since the middle of May, and I worked it out to be about £10 a week. So anyone who shops with my affiliate link, then thank you very much. It is worth it, and I know it's not a huge amount, £10 a week, but it really helps, you know, chugging along. And when bills come along to do with podcasting and hosting and websites and stuff, it's just really useful to have that in the mix. So thank you very much, everyone. tinyurl.com/Amazon Ted UK. Right, what's been going on with you?
I was just going to say here to that, because actually that works out at £500 a year, which is basically a car insurance. So, I mean, that is certainly something that's very helpful to you, Ted, to keep these admirable podcasts going and ticking along. So I do concur. Please help everybody if you can.
Thank you. Except, of course, like, it's not cash. So, but you see, I would be spending money in Amazon anyway, so it's effectively cash. Because they won't give you the money, they'll give you a voucher.
Indeed, but, robbing Peter to pay Paul, it moves the money elsewhere, indeed. Here, I've got some news. We haven't done eggs on the show for a while, have we?
No.
Guess what? I made scrambled eggs with my coffee machine.
What?
I stumbled on this thing on the web and I thought, oh, by gum, I've got to try that. I can't remember. Again, we see things on the web. Who knows where I found it from? I was scrolling through and I saw somebody putting eggs into the metal jug with which you froth your milk with a coffee machine.
Right.
And then using the milk frothing wand to cook the eggs. And I thought, now that looks like fun. Now, I will precede this by saying I did it once. I won't be doing it again.
Mm.
But it worked a treat. I couldn't believe it. I scrambled up 3 eggs and a little bit of salt and a little bit of milk, as I would normally if making scrambled eggs in whatever way. I then put that mixture into the metal pre-chilled jug. I held it under the steam wand exactly as if I was making myself a latte and frothing the milk. It took about 90 seconds. And as you'll see from the pictures that I've put into our show notes today, hopefully we can put them forward for people to see on MeWe. I made a very, very respectable portion of scrambled eggs that was smooth and consistent and really tasted yummy. The reason I'm not going to do it again is because this equipment is not designed for eggs. The first thing I had to do before I even tasted the eggs was unscrew the end of the wand and soak it in soapy water and take the metal cup and soak that, because you know what eggs are like, and you know what eggs are like if you don't clean them up quickly. I am quite certain that if I were to do this on a regular basis, I would very soon my coffee machine. So not something I would advise, but if you want to do it once carefully and clean the apparatus quickly afterwards, it was a fabulous experiment and it produced lovely, lovely scrambled eggs. What do you think of that?
Brilliant. Yeah, that's and your eggs look really good. So the result had worked. I would never have dreamt of doing that.
I would never.
I'll tell you what, one thing.
Sorry.
Another thing I've learned from this item today is that you can unscrew the end of the wand.
Oh, well, you can on my machine. Perhaps on yours, I'm not sure. But yes, indeed. You,
oh, right.
But I imagine you can. I mean, these things are meant to be cleaned from time to time. You're supposed to unscrew it and soak it in white vinegar every so often to get all
well,
the
I,
out
well,
of it.
Well, the way that I clean it is that I fill up the aforementioned silver pot with a vinegar mixture and I just put the wand into it and leave it there.
Yep,
but I didn't realise that potentially I can get the end of it off, because that would make it even simpler. But anyway, your eggs look great and it's a really interesting idea and I'm glad it worked out for you. Well done.
Excellent item. Here we go again. Move on, quick.
I'm really, really happy that I've still got my air conditioner working. I know I mentioned this on the last show, but it's just so... It makes things so much more tolerable. I have got as much as I'm whinging today about being stuck in the heat in this room, my computer room is all set up perfectly for podcasting, but I can, at a push, do it with my other computer, and that is set up in the room where the air conditioner is. So typically if I'm recording in the evening when it's even hotter, I can go in there, and the air conditioner is brilliant. I put it on when we did this test recording for PSC, and I said to Joe that I don't know if we're going to be able to use this because this air conditioner is so noisy. But Microsoft Teams is so good at noise gating that we put it out and listened to it and couldn't tell. It's just amazing. So anyway, the point of the story was that this air conditioner, 8 years old now, I checked, I bought it in July 2018, is just brilliant. It still works. I'm quite surprised on it, to be honest. So surprised I am that in the winter I am going to buy another one, because I cannot believe that it's just going to go on for another year and another year. I mean, I may be right. Maybe air conditioners don't break. Has yours been all right?
Mine is lovely. I mean, obviously, I've only had mine for 5 minutes. I got mine about 2 weeks, perhaps 3 weeks ago now. I've been using it fairly regularly and loving it. Very, very delighted with it and delighted for the recommendation. I mean, the fact that you've mentioned yours so many times, and then that coincidentally I happened to buy the same one, not based on your recommendation, but based on the fact that it was the only air conditioner in the whole of the UK that I could find that was available. I'm delighted with mine. So I think we've both scored there, Ted. I wanted to say, by the way, you're lucky in that the noise of an air conditioner is a constant noise, unchanging on a single frequency, which is noise reduction's favourite kind of noise to be able to get rid of.
Right.
So, that's lucky that you can actually run it, and as long as the noise reduction works, let it run.
And I'm sat there thinking to myself, this is so loud. How can this tech possibly do this? But, yeah, you're right, it does. So in the winter, I'm going to buy another one. And even if I don't use it, I'll have it just in case. Which reminded me about the fact that the, as you said just now, you cannot buy for love nor money air conditioning units. That there is none. I check every few days to see when to buy my new one, and there's just nothing. And apparently all the stocks in the UK have been depleted. The stocks coming from the Far East, which is where they're all made, are blocked in the Strait of Hormuz, or they just haven't got here because it's a long way to get them across. And all of the ones in the UK are in, you know, people's houses now, being used. Buying stuff in the winter is a good idea, I think. And this can be my Ted's top tip. Cue jingle.
Ted's top tips. Nice quick jingle there. Carry on.
And my top tip is to, if you're going to buy something that is seasonally active, then do it in the opposite season, like I'm going to do with my air conditioning unit. Buy it in the winter when no one will want one. Nobody will want one. So there'll be millions of them, and they'll probably be cheaper. And conversely, buying things like heaters and gloves and hats and radiators, you know, buy them in the summer when nobody wants them. You go and look on Amazon or anywhere else at the moment, and if you want to buy a radiator or a heater, they're giving them away.
I've always believed it's harder to do because shops tend to change their stock. But if you can find winter clothes in the summer or summer clothes in the winter, that's also a nicer way to buy clothes, because the chances are they'll be cheaper. I always used to buy Christmas decorations in January when they're on sale after Christmas and stick them in the loft for the following year.
A very similar principle to, well, no, it's not the same principle at all, but I'll say it anyway. Going into Tesco's when you're hungry to do the shopping.
Yes, Ted, and moving on.
Well, they say you shouldn't do it. Don't go into Tesco's shopping when you're hungry, because you will buy more you're hungry.
Yes, and don't go shopping for food when you've just had lunch, because you'll look at all the food and just not feel like buying anything. So it works that way around too. We've switched our broadband, or we are switching our broadband. Do you know what? I think I would almost make this a Room 101 entry for every company in the country that hikes its prices year on year, every year, put the price up, make people do this bloody, I remember Steve Litchfield calling it the annual merry dance of trying to jump ship and start again somewhere else, because your company, for whatever it is, whether it's car insurance or telephone network or whatever, hikes the price every ruddy year. So Room 101 for that. And because of that, because Virgin decided to do that to us this year and hike our bill from around £60 a month we've been paying for the last year or so up to £70 plus per month, I thought, right, that's it. I'm going to do the dance and see what I can find. And I found Zen is it called Zen Media? Zen Broadband, I think. I'd never heard of it before, as you can tell. But I found them. Gem and I told me they were well recommended and regarded. I did some more research and decided that they were. They were offering for £46, so that would bring my bill down from 70 plus to 46 a month. Not only that, our current 250 MPS speed with Virgin will now be 900 MPS speed with Zen. So we've practically quadrupled the speed and almost halved the cost. I can't wax lyrical and give them gold stars yet, because the changeover day is not until the Virgin contract expires, which is the August the 3rd. But I've set it all up. They certainly get a big gold star for the setup process, which was flawless. And as I say, Gemini too, for the invaluable help. It's all set up. It's all going to happen on the 3rd of August. We did have a chap turn up, very friendly man turned up and spent some time out in the road with the junction box, you know, being a Bernard Cribbins man in a hole in the road. I don't really know what he was doing, but he was making ready for us and said, yes, everything's fine. You'll get your switch over on the 3rd of August. We're going to have...
No, you won't. No, you won't. This is something that I come back to as well, is that whenever I have changed broadband providers, it takes 2 weeks for it to settle down into anything usable. And every day you've got to go and reset the router and fart arse about with it. And there just doesn't seem to be any way around that. Now, to be fair, I haven't done that for about 3 years now, I don't think. So maybe they have made that better. But up until then, every single blooming time you change, it doesn't work properly. You keep having to reset the router, restarting everything to try and get the speed back up to what it should be. And when you talk to these providers, they say, yeah, that's to be expected. It's got to settle down. And all this bollocks, you know. What is this, 1924?
Don't worry, dear listeners. One of us did get out of bed the right side this morning. I will continue. Ted's grumping notwithstanding. I am looking forward to a switchover, a smooth and seamless switchover from yucky Virgin to wonderful Zen on the 3rd of August. And I shall bring you the news of it in the next episode. I was just going to say, before I was so rudely interrupted by Mr. Grump, we're getting optical network termination device. We're getting an optical network termination device, because apparently we're having full fibre. It's rather Greek to me, but it sounds as if we're going to have lightning fast internet. Or we're not, according to Ted Salmon. Let's see what happens on the 3rd of August.
Well, you will eventually. but actually, as I say, my information is now 3 years old. So maybe now it'll be interesting to see if your August the 3rd date, by the time it's settled down, whatever that means, is actually August the 17th, 2 weeks later. I'll be really interested to hear from you.
Well, one thing that Gemini was keen to tell me, and one of the reasons I was pleased to go to Zen, is because they're a moderately small company, and they have supposedly one of the best service departments, after-sales service and communication, of any of the broadband providers. So that very much appealed to me. So that if it turns out that, God forbid, you should be right, Ted, and on August the 3rd all hell does break loose, I can at least get in touch with them and say, what are you doing? So, let's see what happens. Well, all will be revealed on the... He looks quickly to the top of the show notes. 11th of August. 11th of August, I will be telling you all.
The other thing is to say is that it's not to do with Zen and it's not to do with Virgin. It's to do with BT, because BT are the ones that are in charge of all the cables that run all around the country from houses all over the place. And I think that to some degree that might be changing a bit. I don't know enough about it to be authoritative, but when we've questioned it in the past, if you're with Sky or something and you complain, they say, oh no, that's BT's. That's their part of the job, is the cables and the optical blah blah blah, and you have to go to BT, and you go to BT and they say, oh no, you've got to go to Sky, they're sorting it out.
Well, yah, boo totally sucks to you. Irritating. The man who came to the door last week was BT, and it was a BT engineer who dug a hole in the road and
there
sorted it all
I
out.
I rest my case.
I rest mine, because he came to me at the end and said, everything's set, everything's fine, you'll have your switch over on the 3rd. Listen, I think we're losing listeners. Let's move on quickly.
I'd just like to say, they always say that. Right, Okay. Feedback from the last show. Jim Fowle, he says, 243 was a great show. And I'm still using that Philips nose trimmer you were talking about and referenced him in. And I should have really put it in for still using. So thank you, Jim. It is good. And we've all got one now. We should start a shop.
We should. Our favourite nose trimmer, Philips NT3650/16. Nose trimmer for all. I've got a quick one. It will be very quick because there's nothing to report as yet. But to say, do you remember that wonderful wooden dragon that I was so keen on in the last show? Beautiful,
oh, yeah.
Fluid movement, looked absolutely gorgeous, but cost $220, so I didn't buy it. Well, I discovered in the week since that, in fact, you can buy much cheaper versions of this. It seems that the same thing, with sometimes even the same photographs, is available in various other places like AliExpress and eBay and Amazon for considerably less. And in fact, I bought one. I bought one on Amazon for just £21. That's 12% of the $220 I spurned last week. we're having trouble. I've had the, you know, it was not on Prime. It was due to take a couple of weeks to come. After a couple of weeks, I then had a message saying, we're so sorry, we've had a customs issue. Would you like a refund or we'll try again? And I said, no, that's fine, try again. So it hasn't arrived yet. Fingers crossed it will be here for the next show and I can tell you whether it's any good. But I know you and I have discussed this, Ted, offline, and we basically agree that this is probably going to be a pretty nasty, plastic, fantastic version of what would otherwise be a beautiful carved wooden thing. So let's find out when it arrives. I shall report back.
Okay, no worries. Next up is the... Oh, just to mention that on the basis of that story, I have got an interesting thing going on with my Fairphone 5, which I sent back to France to be repaired because I broke it. Long story. And they sent it back to me. And it was something to do with customs, which is probably what yours is as well, with this blockage on delivery. And they've just sent it back to me. And I got back onto Fairphone and I told them. And they said, oh, they're fickle like that. Let's try again. So they started the whole process again now. And I've got to send it again.
It is bizarre. I've had the same thing with sending stuff to my sister in Cyprus. Sometimes you wait literally months, 2 or 3 months, and then it just arrives back at the house for no reason at all. And the address is perfectly correct. And you just think, OK, put another stamp on, try again.
Room 101. Dad's pedal bin was disgusting. I opened it and looked at it. I said to him, your pedal bin's disgusting. Do you never clean it? And so he said, oh, hang that. Let's buy a new one. So we did. And it's actually really nice. Really quick item. It's 15 litres. It's a JVL slim plastic lidded foot pedal waste bin. And I'll put a link into the show notes because it's actually really nice. I did wonder, because it was plastic, whether the pressing the pedal on the front would actually lift the back up if it was empty. But it actually doesn't. It's really nice. So there you go. Quick one. Recommended a plastic pedal waste bin.
I bought a rat trap. I was going to make this quite a major item and discuss it and how it worked and whether it was... To be honest, I'm going to let it go a little faster because it just hasn't worked at all. We have rats in the garden. Not that many. And to be honest, one or two rats that I've seen, they're lovely. They're actually very cute. I was actually watching one a little earlier as we were recording. As people know, I have the pond in the garden and I'm very, very lucky, being a wildlife lover, that we really have attracted all kinds of wildlife. I mean, I made a list of about 20 different species of animals and birds that we're seeing. Oh, and there's a mouse. I'm looking at a mouse in the garden as we speak. So we really have got it all out there. And I like the rats and I have no problem with the rats, but a discussion with Gemini revealed that, you know, they can be difficult and if you don't eliminate them, they can populate overpopulate too much. And so I thought, OK, but I'm not going to do this the cruel way. I mean, the things that you hear about the way that rat poisons kill rats slowly and painfully over a period of days, I just thought, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm sorry. So I went for an electric rat trap, which I was hoping I could tell you was wonderful and efficient and kind and but no, it hasn't worked. It's been out there for days and days and days and days and hasn't caught a bloody thing. It's very good. I mean, it's good quality. If it were to work, I would certainly advocate having one. £49, which I'm glad to say went on the household budget. It wasn't out of my own pocket, as it were. But as I say, it's not really a lot to say because I did as instructed. I set it up. I put it in the garden. I put bait in it. Every couple of days, I change the bait and look around. And it just doesn't work. The rats don't go in. And you can research on the web and you can learn how very, very cunning rats are. And it can take them a very long time to pluck up the courage to go in. And what they actually suggest is that you put it out there for about 2 weeks without switching it on so that the rats get used to going in and eating the food and coming out. And In the end, I just couldn't be arsed. So I think it's going to go in the garage as an unused piece of equipment. But for anyone, excuse me, who is considering it, it's humane, or as humane as can be. If you're going to kill a rat, it's the most humane way to do it, because basically it's got two metal pads, one at the front and one towards the back. And once the rat is fully inside and its back legs are on the back pad, once it reaches the front and puts its front legs on the front pad, it gets zapped. Takes four or six, I can't remember now, pretty chunky batteries. And you turn it on, it flashes a little LED to tell you that it's primed and ready, and then you leave it in the garden and wait to catch a rat, which I've done since I bought it at least 2 weeks ago now, with absolutely no results whatsoever. So feeling a bit glum about it. But as I say, it is well made. It is a good piece of kit. So I can't not recommend it, except I haven't caught any rats with it. A bit boring, really, isn't it? That was it.
Well, I think it's a bit cruel, isn't it? But that was what, you say it's a humane solution, but actually zapping a rat, it's like putting someone on an electric chair, isn't it?
Well, it is. But I mean, let me just tell you what Gemini says. Standard bat traps are not all humane. The vast majority of over-the-counter and professional rat trap poisons fall into specific categories, blah, 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 blah. For instance, example, one category. Blocks the synthesis of vitamin K in the liver, which is essential for producing blood clotting. Once the rodent consumes the bait, its existing blood clotting factors deplete naturally, which takes about 5 to 6 days before any symptoms manifest. The rodent experiences systematic internal bleeding. Over the course of 2 to 7 days after symptoms begin, blood leaks into the vital organs, joints, and the thoracic cavity. It's a really horrible, torturous, cruel way to kill rats, and I've never, ever advocated that. The problem is, I was at a point where I thought, I really have got to try to get rid of one or two of these rats that I'm seeing in the garden. Unfortunately, in this country, it is illegal to resituate them. I mean, what you could try to do, and again, it's bloody difficult because I have tried in the past, is catch a rat live in a cage, put it in your car and drive it somewhere else and release it. I did it once. It was a terrifying experience to think that this angry rat could break out of the cage and attack me in the car at any moment. I subsequently found out that it's actually illegal, so I haven't done it since. So that's out of the question. So really, it's either do nothing at all and let the rats take over, or kill them in the most humane way possible, and that's why I opted for the quick electric shock, because they're dead in about 2 seconds apparently, as opposed to
you could shoot them
6 or 7 days. You could shoot them. I mean, my God, that would be yes, dead. Anyway, sorry, what I thought would be a quickie turned into quite a long item. I'm sure it does work very well if you have the patience to use it and do it properly. Maybe there's a subconscious element that I'm actually quite pleased that I haven't really taken the time to do it properly, so the little rats have evaded being zapped. So there it is, yeah. A rat zapper, if you want one.
In the meantime, it sounds like you could sell tickets to the Bell Household Zoo in the garden.
Oh, we really have considered it. We really have considered that, Ted. Yes. I mean, I'm so lucky. I realise how lucky I am that I've got this. And it's an ecosystem. You know, the pond attracts a lot of mosquitoes and insects, which attracts the birds, which attract, you know whatever. And it all sort of builds up. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Okay, next up is my office chair mat. You may remember that I set up a office kind of desk and chair in my dad's garage for days just like this, and I'm not there. It would have been very sensible to go up there and do this recording today. Anyway,
yes.
Laying that aside, the chair has got wheels on the bottom and the floor is made of concrete. And someone did say to me, it might have been you at the outset, that the wheels will, on the concrete, just wear away really quickly. And sure enough, I began to think, I better do something about this. So I got this mat, which was £22 from Amazon. It's 120 by 90, or you can buy 140 by 91 if you want to. And it just goes on the floor. It's got a sticky back. So what you're supposed to do is wash and clean the concrete first, which I did. Well, I didn't wash it, I swept it. And then when you put it down, you take the peel, you peel the stuff off the back and put it down. It kind of sticks to it, but it's fine. I put the chair on top of it and it works. And it's made of this kind of corduroy stuff. So it's not plastic. Previously, when we've had these chair mats, they've been this kind of hard plastic, but this is actually like more like corduroy, and it's really nice. So I think you probably could get one cheaper than 22 quid somewhere, but it works really well, just the right size, and I like it. There you go.
And it looks very nice. I think it looks in the picture very attractive. Mm. I've actually got a chair on a hard wooden floor in my studio, and I am forever picking up bits of rubbish and stuff that gets bits of dirt and muck that get wound up in the wheels, and so yes, I certainly concur.
Yeah.
Chris Kelly brings us a folding clipboard with a question mark. The, how do you say this? L-I-H-I-T, Lihit, Lihit Labs A2068 foldable clipboard is an A4 size clipboard that folds in half at the midpoint, reducing its footprint to an A5 clipboard for transport. It then locks back open flat and rigid when you're ready to write again. A slider on the side controls the fold, and the rest is something that behaves like a proper clipboard when you need it and a compact document folder when you don't. Retails at 1,300 Japanese yen... of course, and is available internationally through specialist stationery shops at around 25 quid. Chris Kelly says, I've got a few Lihit Labs products and found them to be... Or maybe that wasn't Chris who put it in the first place. But Chris Kelly then It goes on to say that he has quite a few Lihit Labs products. Now, why am I not surprised? And found them to be of very high quality. I'm in two minds about this. I kind of think, really... To just you need to fold it in half. I mean, if you haven't got room for an A4 clipboard, have you got room for an A5 clipboard? Yeah, I suppose it's cute. It's kind of looking for it's a solution for a problem that didn't really exist, but it's kind of cute. Yes, okay.
The story here, though, I think, is if you visit the Lihit Labs website, like Chris suggests, there is some really interesting stuff in there, and nice design stuff, and just interestingly done stuff. How much of it you can get outside of Japan is probably another matter, but it just looks like it's interestingly designed, mainly, and bright colours, and different takes on ordinary stationery stuff, mainly. I think it's worth a shout out.
I agree. Jingle.
I've been having some biscuit dunking fun recently. And while I was dunking my biscuits, I thought I might have a look into I was trying to work out why people have biscuits and why people dunk them. And so I did some research and asked Gemma and went to Wikipedia and had a look around. And apparently it turns out that it's something to do with sailors in the 16th century, because the best way of keeping food for a long time was to make sure that it's kind of hardened and dried. And then when they wanted to eat it, they dunked it into their soup, like we would do with a biscuit, or beer, or brine, or whatever they've got, and then it made it soft, and then they could eat it more easily than it just being a biscuity kind of snappy. So that was a bit of the history, and apparently the Romans were responsible also for dunking stuff for similar kind of reasons. But it was just I put a link into the show notes for, I put a blog post up about it on Salma Gundai, and I shall invite you to have a look and a bit of a digest of what was going on there. But yes, I nearly always dunk my biscuits. In fact, if I don't have a hot drink in front of me, I don't even bother having a biscuit.
I learned something the other day too. My mother asked me to translate a German word, which I think it was Zweibeck, which means two baked, double baked. And she said, oh yes, that's right, because it's a biscuit. And that's what biscuit means. And I said, does it? She said, oh yes, biscuit means twice baked. Did you
right.
know that?
Right, okay.
There you are.
It didn't come up with that, certainly. But there was a Scott Brady jumped in here and he said, meanwhile, in the good old US of A, a biscuit is like bread, but tastier. It must be the butter, he says. Small, fluffy and light, usually served with a meal as a side item. UK biscuit, it seems, is what the Americans call a cookie. So we tried to use the Oreo as an example. It was the one that I could think of that we both had, both sides of the pond. And we call an Oreo biscuit a biscuit. And they over there, apparently, they call an Oreo a cookie. So, interesting differences in culture.
Yes, I think the closest we have to biscuit would actually be scone. I love American biscuit. It's gorgeous. It's a bit like a sort of savoury, slightly lighter than a scone, savoury, scone-ish kind of thing. Yeah, really delicious.
I'm surprised that you pronounce scone wrongly with your posh background. Carry on.
There, we've all learned something today. I've learned that my mother is cleverer than Gemini, and that pleases me. Let's have another jingle.
Still using and still using.
I'm still using. Well, I'm not actually. Actually, this doesn't really qualify for still using, but I'm going to press on anyway. These Tassimo by Bosch coffee machines, which, don't spit, but some people really like them. And actually, my dad and mum, my late mum, had these constantly, and they really like the pod coffee thing, the Tassimo ones particularly. And the coffee does cut. It's comparable to what you would get down at a coffee shop. Very, very, very similar to what you get in the local coffee shop. And so they like it. He likes it. But the trouble is that these Tassimo by Bosch little machines, they just don't last very long. I think they're designed to last a year and you buy another one. Fortunately, they're only 30 quid each. So, you know, it's not going to break the bank, even if you had to once a year. But anyway, this one has lasted 3 years. So he was still using it until it broke. So it does qualify.
Was past tense still using.
Yes. This should be a whatever work duh, shouldn't it? So 3 years is a record, actually. Normally they've had to get one like every 18 months or so. What seems to go wrong is when it comes to the cleaning time, and it just can't get this. The red light comes on and asks to be cleaned. And even when you follow the thing perfectly to the letter, it just doesn't do it properly. And then you end up with this red light on permanently, and sometimes it just won't work afterwards. Anyway, that was my item. Your turn.
Yeah, I've never got into pod coffees. Never tickled my taste buds at all. Not at all. Literally.
One of the things that they like about it is that it's quick and easy, and you can get a whole range of different coffees, chocolate, latte,
yes, I can see all that.
Whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really quick and easy to just get a whole range of whatever you fancy. But yeah.
No. I wasn't meaning to say I disagree, or it's just nothing for me myself. I tell you what I'm bringing to the show is the Kenwood KN650 electric knife. Now, I brought this onto the show. I remember talking about it 2 or 3 years ago, at least, but I can't find it anywhere in the archive now. Last show, you were complimenting me and saying, oh, look at you, you're quite the archivist. Well, I'm afraid I'm letting myself down now because I couldn't find it anywhere. Nevertheless, I purchased it from John Lewis, which is probably why it wasn't Amazon. Currently, John Lewis are selling it for 28 quid, so I presume we played something similar. It's an electric carving knife. And you know that expression, you had one job. Well, this carving knife really does have one job. It comes out every Sunday. Such boring conservatism here. It comes out every Sunday when I do a Sunday chicken for me and my mother. We have a chicken joint on a Sunday, and it just slices through it like butter. I'll use it for that. I stick the blades in the dishwasher, and it doesn't get used again till the following Sunday. So it's not really had a very adventurous life. I remember, more than once, actually, now that I think of it, I've used it for cutting polystyrene. With all my various Heath Robertson projects with the pond and the car and the air conditioning and whatever. Anytime I need to cut polystyrene, I know that an electric knife is very, very good for that. So I've cut polystyrene with it. But apart from that, in the kitchen, it's just worked once a week for years cutting our joint, and very, very pleased with it. I am too. That's it.
Well done indeed. Yeah, yeah. Kitchen knives are they do tend to go on, these electric knives, for years. The one that's at my dad's house has been there probably for 15 years or something. So they are pretty robust, I think. And as you say, don't often get used very much because, well, it got used more when they were making their own, when Mum was making her own bread. It got used then, yeah. But it never gets used now. Anyway, I want to tell you that I'm still using, after dragging it out of my abandoned drawer, an e-ink reader. I know you're not interested in the technology of this, but so I've stripped it all out of this item in reference to what you put in the notes here. But the point of the story was not about the technology. It was about the fact that it was in the abandoned drawer, and I was actually seriously considering buying a new shiny kind of Kindle Scribe or something, or a new books machine, and I got this out of the drawer, charged it up, and sure enough, it works perfectly. I plugged it into my computer. I put all my books that I've got on my computer onto it. Beautifully works. The front light still works. This was a device that I bought in 2020. So even though it's been in the abandoned drawer for a long time, it is still I am still using it. Well, I am now, because it works absolutely perfectly. And so I think the message here was that before you consider shiny and new and spend money, just have a look at... There are some technical limitations with it because it's so old, which I won't bore you with. But apart from that, if you just want it to read books on, it's just perfect. So there you go. And that's the... Which one is this? Oh, this is the Onyx Books Note 2 from 2020. Very impressed I am.
I think you've hit here on the downside of advancing technology. Advancing technology is wonderful, and isn't it great that all these new ideas and technological improvements are coming along the conveyor belt towards us? But you're right. Sometimes it isn't necessary. Sometimes what was made 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago is actually perfectly acceptable, as you have demonstrated. So I'm all in favour, Ted. Yes, absolutely. Hyo, hyo.
I bought, because it's so bloody hot. Did I mention it's hot? No, I think I probably...
Did I mention my new car in my pond? Yeah.
I bought some transparent, empty, fine mist plastic spray bottles, right? The reason was I thought to myself, right, you can pay loads of money for these kind of misting fan thingies. And I thought to myself, why do you need to pay loads of money for a misting fan? I've got a fan. All I need is the mist bit. So I went through the kitchen cupboard and I found these spray bottles that have got, you know, window cleaner or descaling stuff in it or whatever. And I thought, no, I don't fancy... trying to clean one of those to get all the chemicals out of it. I'll just get some new ones. So onto Amazon I go, and you get two of these spray bottles for £4.99. Again, probably cheaper from the pound shop or AliExpress. But you basically, all you do is you put the water in this thing. And if you're very smart, you'll then put it in the fridge overnight or whatever. And then when it's really, really hot, all you have to do is sit in front of the fan, which you'd be doing anyway, and spray your face or your clothes or whatever it is with water. And sure enough, it's absolutely lovely, because the fan suddenly, instead of blowing just hot air at you from behind it, it actually refreshes the skin and it makes it feel cool and cold. And it's really, really nice. I think for £2.50 each, it's definitely a Judge Barton's cheap as chips, and it's really, really good. I suppose you could put some ice in it as well if you wanted to. Anyway, plastic spray bottles, think about it.
You know what you haven't said on the show for a long time? Fiendish. That is fiendish. That is very good, Ted. I am cursed with the Bell gene, which basically says never throw anything away ever for as long as you live. So we actually already have shelves full of olds. such right. spray things. And because, and also, again, because of my Heath Robinson gene, I tend to, when I do finish a whatever maybe in whatever product may be in a vessel, I tend to clean the vessel and think that might be useful later and put it on the shelf. So yes, whether you need to buy them or whether you're an idiot like me and already have them cluttering up your house, a very, very good tip, top tip from Mr. Ted. Thank you, sir.
But my point earlier, though, was that I was concerned about the chemicals in them.
Yes.
So those ones on your shelf presumably have been used for chemical product. And do you want to then spray that in your face?
If they have, then I will rinse it several times. I will then put washing up liquid in and shake it and rinse it and do it again and shake it and rinse it. So I give it a damn good cleaning. I mean, okay. And yeah, then I would. I mean... Yes, I certainly concur. One must clean something thoroughly if it's had chemicals in it. But I think it is possible to clean them thoroughly unless they're really hideous chemicals.
OK, you're more of a risk taker than me.
I'm a man. Yes, dear, play a jingle.
I want one, I want one, I want one.
I want one of those.
I still want the Google glasses. I have not gone down in this. In fact, if anything, I have increased in my want. I am absolutely heart set on getting a pair of, what's the name of the company? I can't remember now. Warby Parker. Apparently, when the Google glasses come out, there will be two. There will be a Warby Parker pair, which look quite good. And there will be a pair from another company called, with a funny name I can't remember, like Dead Rabbit or something. I'm sure you're looking it up as I'm speaking. And they make another pair of glasses which are much trendier, that are actual sunglasses, really not suitable for day wear. Anyway, I'm very keen on the Warby Parker. I had Gemini bung a pair on me Fizzog, and I've got a picture that I'm looking at the moment of my smiling face with these glasses upon it, and they look perfectly normal. As I said on the last show, I think they look like Ronnie Corbett glasses, but in round rather than square. And I'm very keen to have some. And I bring it up because, dear listeners, tomorrow being the 22nd of July, there is a Samsung launch at which these glasses should appear. And there should be a lot more information released tomorrow about the glasses, what they're going to cost, exactly what they do, and where one can get them. So I'm looking forward very much to that. As I presume you are, Ted, with your interest in all things tech, even if you're not going to have a pair yourself.
Yeah, tech for the tech stuff, then I am interested in a way that you're not with an e-reader, of course.
Yes, yes.
And there's also a lot of stuff about them being kind of creepy as well. That, you know, people are saying smart glasses are just creepy, and you can always see the fact that they're smart glasses because they tend to have cameras in the corners for one thing.
But yes.
And people know that they're smart glasses, and so they're really cautious around people that they can see wearing them. And personally, I've got no interest in it at all. One of the reasons is that I need, in order to see anything sensible, I've got a prescription. And so you've got to make sure you'd get a pair you can put prescription lenses in which case that then suddenly pushes the price of the whole project up anyway.
I've got good news on that front, though. The bad news is, yes, I would have to pay for another set of lenses. And I have to think to myself, well, can I justify that when it not that long ago that I paid for my glasses? But then I thought, I don't think I can turn up at Santa gigs wearing these glasses. Hello, children, come and let me photograph you. So I will certainly need my old pair. I think I will have to swap out the Google glasses whenever I do a gig anywhere.
Yeah, okay. Well, good luck to you. And it'll be interesting to see how you get on and whether you get people avoiding you.
Yeah, and I do have to give you a regrettable apology warning long in advance, which is, of course, that if I do end up with a pair, exactly as you just said about my lack of interest in the e-reader, when I've got these glasses, you will say to me, can they do this, that and the other? And I will say, I don't know, I wasn't interested in that,
I just
put them on.
I just wear them.
Sorry about that. Whatever.
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 Whatever worked.
We were on show 95 here. Funicular Flash Fetish was the title in November 2019. And what I noticed in dragging out this stuff from the past was that we were trying to avoid in whatever work to do stuff that we put in ourselves. But actually, on this show, it was impossible.
Yes.
Because all of the things were from you and I.
Yes.
So I'll have to take one of my own, which was the rubber doormat. And this is also a still-using one. I don't know if you can still buy it. It's JVL... yeah, you can. £6.69 honeycomb outdoor rubber doormat, and it sits outside my door here, and it's been there ever since day one, so it's definitely a still using, and it's really, really top-notch condition, not at all worn, probably doesn't get much traffic across it, to be honest, but even so, it's a really nice rubber doormat if you're in for a rubber doormat.
Yeah, who'd want to visit
you? What about you?
The mood you're in today, no one's going to come to your door, I tell you, mate. Yeah, the other thing that we did decide, we decided to give you an exception this week because of everything that you just said, all the items came from us. But in future, I think we'll also be looking for items that don't qualify as still using because they will go into the still using section of the show.
Yeah.
So hopefully in future, we'll bring you things that are not still using and not from us. For instance, I did manage to find one on here, which was the MYLEK, the Mylek Overdoor Air Curtain Heater, which is one of those heaters that you put up above your door and it puts a hot stream of air, a curtain of air, down in front of the door, the kind of thing you often find at shops. I was actually inspired to then buy one for our hall, which I had in the hall and used for a little while, and then just decided I did the research, and there was no Gemini in those days. I had to do proper research, and I read that these things are in fact useful and do heat a room, despite the fact that you feel like you're pouring hot air out into the open air outside. Eventually, I just couldn't make peace with that, and I just thought, no, I'm just wasting money. I'm pouring money outside here. I can't understand how a heater at a door is. No. So I stopped using it. So ours is still hanging. It's not still using. It's still hanging. Hasn't been used for about 5 years. But it was the Mylek Overdoor Air Curtain Heater that inspired me to buy the one that I'm now not using. The end.
And it's only 54 quid. I was quite surprised. Those things are quite cheap, really, aren't they?
I'm glad I only wasted 50 quid plus all the electricity, yes.
Yeah. But if one was to use one,
yes,
and it did work for them... 54 quid, I think, is a bargain.
Yes, if you had a proper use case, indeed.
Right, John Trimmer has bought the Towelnado cooling towel. I bought one of these, and we talked about it on the show. And it's this kind of blue... cooling towel, which you're supposed to put into water, and you then... take it out of the water when it's saturated, you then squeeze out the excess water, and then you kind of flick it in the air like we used to do to each other with tea towels, and it's supposed to activate a kind of cooling mechanism. I'm a fat bastard with type 1 diabetes, says John, who doesn't do so well in the heat. Join the club. Well, not for the diabetes, but not doing well in the heat. An advert for this thing came up, and he thought he'd give it a go. He didn't realise, and they didn't say it was coming from China, so we had to wait 3 weeks for it. But anyway, it arrived, and he's putting it into room 101, because when he put the cold water on it and snapped it, as per the instructions, draped it round his neck... I thought initially it was doing what it is supposed to do, but after about 3 minutes, there was no more wet towel, my T-shirt was damp and uncomfortable, he says. A few minutes later, it was warm. I've tried again a few times and the same thing occurred. A work colleague bought one from Amazon, he says, and he said it was equally as shite. So... it's room 101 for this for two reasons. The Chinese website was clearly using false advertising, and also they didn't say that the thing was coming from China in the first place, and also the product is shit as well. I do get what he's saying. When I put this thing around my neck, initially you do get a bit of a cooling effect from it. But then after a little while, sure enough, you suddenly realise that this thing around your neck is actually warm and making you hotter. But what you're supposed to do then, without going back to the tap, is pull it, take it off and snap it again. And It's small degrees. I think it kind of works. It's a good job these things are cheap, really, because, you know, it's just one of those things that everyone ends up having and having tried. And, it kind of works if you're lucky, if the wind's in the right direction. But, John puts it into room 101.
Yeah, you need Steve Litchfield to explain. It's all to do with the transfer of heat from one place to another, isn't it? And by snapping it, you cause the air to come in and cool the water down, and then it goes back on your neck and you heat it up again. But even if it worked perfectly, it would still mean that every few minutes you've got to be taking this thing off and snapping it and putting it back on again, doesn't it? So,
Yes. It's to do with the holes. It's the design of the holes,
the airflow
apparently.
Through the holes, yes.
Anyway. I would agree with John to a large degree, but it might be just worth trying a bit harder and don't give up.
Right, are you feeling better now? Ted's had a hard day today. Ted's had a rough show.
It's still hot. I can't wait to get the window open.
Yes. Swap your slippers round and sort yourself out. Listen, Ahmed Beebers wants to give a gold star to the Canon iSensis MF3010 multifunction laser printer. He says, I couldn't be more pleased. It's compact, no-nonsense desktop laser printer. The quick first print technology is incredibly responsive. At 18 pages per minute, it breezes through documents with sharp printing, crisp copying and reliable scanning all in one. Save space-saving footprint, straightforward to set up, economical with its cartridge 325, good for 1,600 pages. It's clean, professional looking every time, efficient, dependable, compact. It has a compact it's a compact workhorse and is highly recommended. Now that sounds amazing, and you think, good Lord, what's that going to cost? It's £164. I remember I once had a laser printer several years ago and really enjoyed it, and then found I really didn't need it and sold it on to a friend. But yes, laser printers are great, and for £164, that does sound like a good buy. So I'm very pleased that you're pleased, Ahmed.
So it's okay to talk about the technology behind printers, but not e-ink readers.
I didn't say it was okay. I just read what was on the page in front of me, Ted. I passed no comment at all. Oh, dear.
I can't believe that people still have printers these days, though. Have you got a printer?
Oh, I use my printer every day. I couldn't live without my printer. Absolutely.
What do you do with it? What do you print?
Well, I'm still a paper person in general, so lists that may be printed to, or reminder notes to leave around the place to remember to do things. Lately, I've been working on a flyer for a job, and I've been printing samples because I'm going to be printing 1,000 copies of a flyer, and so I've been printing samples and proof copies of that.
But why can't you just look at it on the screen? Why do you have to print it?
Because it's going to be printed in the end. And also because I'm afraid I'm old-fashioned. It's why when I do occasionally read a book, I read a book, not an e-book. I don't like looking at stuff on screens. I like to hold a piece of paper in my hand and feel it and smell it and look at it and see the way the light reflects off it. Especially if I'm going to have something printed, you've got to look at... The proof has got to be a print. You can't proof what will be a print on a screen. That's just barking.
Well, I do. When I'm doing my magazine every month, I just look at it on the screen and I say, yeah, that's right, send it to the printer, email it to the printer, and they print it, and that's it. Anyway, I mean, each to their own. My dad's got a printer. The only thing that it's ever used for is printing labels to send stuff back to Amazon or wherever. Frankly, they've stopped, to a large degree, making you do that now. You can just take it into the shop. So the printer just sits there not doing anything, really.
I do a lot of printing for my mother. Last night I printed a thing we have to print. People have to have a parking permit to park outside our house when my mother has one of her meetings. So I print out an A4 sheet that's the proof for the person that they've got a permission to park should they have any trouble in the future. My mother has a poetry group. I've printed quite frequently. I print stuff in large type for one of the old ladies who's got very poor eyesight. I print stuff in large print poems for her. We use our printers quite a lot.
My dad's got really poor eyesight, but we've set him up with a tablet and a Kindle with huge print on it, so he can just look at that. As I say, each to their own. But I personally think that it would be interesting to see how many printers are actually sold these days compared to, say, I don't know, 15 years ago. And it would also be interesting to hear from Ahmed what he actually uses his to do as well. And I mean, if you're in business, I suppose to some degree you might need to circulate stuff to your employees, or but then everything's just all tech orientated. Anyway, nice. I'm glad that you're happy with your printer, Ahmed. Just ignore all the rest of what we've said.
Right. I think we need to wrap this show up, and you need to go off and have a nice cup of tea and a lie down, Ted.
cup of tea. That's another. Whatever works. We were looking up in the week. My dad said to me, "It's hot weather. Have a cup of tea." Apparently, you're supposed to have hot drinks in hot weather, and it cools you down. So I looked that up as well, and it turns out that yes, that works, but only in dry heat. So if you live in an area like we do, where the heat is not dry, its humidity is high, then that absolutely does not work. It only works if you live in Tunisia or something, and it's all dry heat. To do with sweat and how sweat's formed.
And that is why tea was invented in India.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, mind you, in the monsoon, it's not dry there, is it? whateverworks.works is our website, as I said earlier, and you can find all the links to all the stuff in there and in your podcast. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan, TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me, and links out to all of our other podcasts and all of our MeWe groups. So head across there. We'll be back in 3 weeks' time, unless you twist our arms to do it sooner. So that's up to you. And last word to you, as always, Aidan Bell.
A quick list just to let you know. If you looked out of my window at any time, you might have a chance of seeing any of the following. Fox, hedgehog, squirrel, rat, mouse, frog, newt, dragonfly, red kite, seagull, parrot, crow, magpie, blackbird, starling, pigeon, woodpecker, robin, greenfinch, tit, sparrow, and we've even had once a roe deer and once a heron. There you are.
Wow.
Have a lovely time, everybody. See you next time. I'm going out to the menagerie.
Yeah. Very interesting. Okay, back soon. See you in the MeWe group. And one last thing, as always, to say between us, which is... I've forgotten what it is now. Oh, yeah, don't forget, whatever works.
Sometimes works, but not always.